The title of the message this morning is What to Do in Our Breaking Points. What to Do in Our Breaking Points. Yeah. So how many's ever been on an elevator? You know, in an elevator, it's just whoop, up, down, hit the button. If you've ever been on an elevator, you see a sign posted, hopefully, that gives you the maximum load capacity that's allowed on it. Right? Yeah. So any number above that limit is at its breaking point. You don't want to stuff an elevator full of, 50 people if it says you can only have 25 on that elevator. The elevator, by the way, has no consciousness to itself of its abilities to withstand the pressures it faces every day. Elevators are designed and just going through its daily paces as it was designed to do, to go up and down with the doors opening and closing. But the manufacturer of that elevator knows exactly its limits. The builder of that elevator knows exactly what that elevator can withstand, and it takes every precaution to make sure that it doesn't exceed what it was designed to do. Now, the same goes with us. If we are elevators and God's the manufacturer, how many would say that you would agree with me that we face pressures every day, and oftentimes we feel maxed out? You understand what I'm saying? The stresses and the strains of life surely get us to a breaking point at one time or another. And if it were just one, we feel like as an elevator, if just one more person gets on, that our cables are going to snap, the floor underneath us is going to collapse, and we're going to plummet helplessly to the bottom, crashing. But God is our manufacturer. And as our manufacturer, he knows exactly what we can withstand, and he knows our breaking point. And the Bible promises us that he's not going to tempt us or allow us to go through beyond what we can handle. He sets the limits to our testing. He sets the limits to our struggles. He sets the limits to our temptations. Isn't that good to know? The Bible describes it as a refiner's fire, a sweet spot of refinement and growth that is just before being burned to a frazzle in the fire of adversity. But that heat, that intensity, that refiner's fire brings about pure gold that God is looking to produce in each of us. Each one of you today has in you gold that needs to be purified. Yeah, yeah. So Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31 describes not only this breaking point, but also God's solution in it. Yeah. You know, I never really pay too much attention to an elevator's condition, by the way. It has to really be in bad shape in order for me to go, eh. I just get into the elevator, and they're pretty utilitarian. You know, you just get on, you click the button, ding. And you don't look at anybody. You just stare at the numbers. You don't talk to anybody. You just stare at the numbers. Ding, doors open. You get off. You're done, and you're on your way. More times than not, they all seem the same. We really don't know in that particular elevator that we get on what sort of strain that it's experienced. The maintenance issues that maybe it's had, the wear and the tear, the abuse. It all looks pretty good as far as we can tell. And thankfully, there's a sign that's posted somewhere in that elevator. There should be. I think it's by law, a state official whose job it is to check the elevators and basically say, all is well. And that gives me the assurance to know that it's okay to get on that thing for the few moments that it needs to take me up or down. So we hop on, we head up, we head down to our destinations without too much thought of it collapsing over on us. And if we look around today, most Sundays, in fact, we can do the same thing and say the same thing about us. We've cleaned up well, we put on a happy face, our exteriors seem fine, but there's a strain. And there's maybe a neglect. Maybe there's some poor maintenance going on in our lives that'll eventually show up if we're not careful. And so I ask you this morning, wouldn't it be wise to allow the inspector of the Holy Spirit to get in there this morning and check on our stuff so that we can be good for the long haul? Amen? Would that, you think that there's some wisdom in that? I mean, that's why, hopefully that's why we're here today, is that we would leave here different than when we came in. And so I want us to dive into this text today in Isaiah chapter 40 and see maybe what we can do about it. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we come to you asking you to enlighten our hearts, refresh us, grow us, teach us today what it is that we can apply to our lives so that later on we can say, wow, I needed that. These are practical, doable steps for me to walk out this week with your help, Holy Spirit, because I am at my breaking point and I need to know what your word says about how to be rescued out of that and how to not just barely make it, but to really be a victorious child of God in these testing moments in my life. So Holy Spirit, we lay aside every distraction. We lay aside every weariness. What happened before today, what's going to happen after our time together, what we have going on today, this week, none of that matters. Right now, what matters is teach us, Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts. Help us to stay focused on what you would have us to apply to our lives today. We love you and thank you in advance for what you're going to do here today. And all God's people said, amen. So I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. It has the words in it that flesh it out a little bit better than the NIV and other versions. So here we go. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31. If you're there with me in your actual Bibles, say amen. Have you not known is the first question. Here's the second question. Have you not heard? And then it moves on to what it is that we need to know and hear. There's four things. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. There's four things. We're going to look at that in a little bit. And then it pivots. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. We're going to look at those three words in there, power and might and strength. We're going to flesh that out a little bit. And then it moves into something a little kind of more explanatory. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We're going to talk about waiting on the Lord and what renewing our strength means. And then finally, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. That's one thing. They shall run and not be weary. That's two things. And then third is they shall walk and not faint. So we're going to cover all that this morning. Take some notes. Hopefully one or two or all of this will help you. So there's four vital truths about God listed in verse 28. We're going to look at that first. It'll help us to set this up today. First, God, write this down. God is everlasting. That would be on the screen, but it's not. God is everlasting. Write that down. It's important. God is everlasting. You see, God is eternal. God has existed forever. Therefore, God is entirely reliable. Write that down. God is reliable. You see, there is no weakness in God. There is no decay in God. There is no deficiency in God. There is no change in God. How many knows that God can take care of any problem? How many knows that God can clean up any mess? Anybody? How many knows that God isn't surprised by anything? It's true. I'm speaking absolute truth this morning. How many knows that God has been there and done that in your life? Because you see, he's been from the end to the beginning. He's already been to the end of your life. He knows exactly what's going on. He's been there and done that in your life. How many knows that nothing is impossible with God? Do you believe that? You see, this is foundational. You've got to believe this in order for the rest of this to make sense this morning. And it's hard to fathom this. Because what we do is we tend to relate to God as we would another human being. We attribute to God some of these things, like God has limitations because my friends have limitations. I have limitations. God is finite because, well, I'm finite. I'm not going to live, you know, forever. This body's going to die. Well, God has some deficiencies because Lord knows I do and other people around me do. There's some deficiencies out there. God is undependable because I am and other people are undependable. We do that, don't we? We attribute those things to God, thinking somehow he is that way because that's how we experience life most of the time with other people. But God, hear me today, God is in a category all to himself. He alone is eternal. He's not learning as he goes along, and he's not evolving, and he's not growing from his mistakes because God doesn't make mistakes. So listen to me this morning. God is perfect. God is eternal. He will not disappoint. And he is reliable because God is everlasting. Isaiah says so. The Bible says so. That's the first thing. Second thing. Write this down. Here's the second part of it. God is the creator of everything. Write it down. God is the creator of everything. That's the second thing Isaiah said. Now, how many has ever purchased a brand new car or a brand new appliance in your life? Yeah. Now, you usually will get something when you purchase something brand new, some sort of warranty, will you not? Yeah. And that warranty usually comes as a manufacturer's warranty, and it's going to lay out what it's going to cover for repairs or replacement for a certain period of time. And rest assured, by the way, and you all know this, that if it's warranty for 365 days, it's going to break down on 366 days. Isn't that right? It's just that I don't know how they do it. I think there's something in there that they just like, it's like a little timer. And on the 366th day, it's like, boom, activate. And it goes boink. And this, I'm sorry, your warranty's expired. That's why they want to charge you another $500 for an extended warranty, you know? Ah, oh, my goodness, it just never ends. But since God is the manufacturer of the universe, how many believe that God is the manufacturer of the universe? The Bible says he's created everything seen and unseen, right? So he's the manufacturer of the universe. Are you in this universe? So that means that he's manufactured you. Is that right? True. So God is the manufacturer of the universe and everything in it, including you, including me, and he gives us a warranty as well. Do you know that you have a warranty? And it doesn't expire after 365 days? Because God's manufacturer's warranty never expires. I mean, it's good all the way through eternity. I'm talking about not just at the end of your life. I'm talking about forever. Say it with me, forever. You see, he has made us. And he knows what makes us tick. And he can maintain us for the maximum use. And he can fix us when we get broken, and how many knows we get broken a lot. He can fix us. He's like, oh, I know what's going on there. Just move aside. Don't interfere. I don't need your help. You ever gone to like a mechanic coming in there and he's looking at your, whatever, the watch mechanic. Maybe it's your car, your engine. He's going, I think, and like you get in there, you don't know a thing about an engine, right? I think you need to do this. He's like, would you just step aside? You're paying me to take care of getting this fixed. Don't we do that to God sometimes? God, don't you? I think you might want to just say, I got this. Do you trust me or not? I made you. I know how to fix you. It's the best deal out there, church. So, first off, God is what? Huh? Everlasting. The second is what? He is the creator of what? Creator of everything. Here's the third thing Isaiah says. God never gets weary. Write it down. God never gets weary. Write it down. How many has ever been tired before? I'm not, you know what? If I say how many wants $1 million, I'm still going to have not everybody, raise their hand. But that's all right. I know we all get weary, all right? We all get weary. This means that he's continually available. You ever seen those HVAC guys on TV?
Well, you call us at midnight and we'll be there. Even on the weekends, we're there for you.
Those guys don't have nothing on God. Because God, if your air unit of your mind blows up, in the middle of the night somewhere, God's available 24/7, 365. Isn't that nice to know? Boop, 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 Jesus. Yes, he's right there. Aren't you glad that God doesn't have an answering service? I'm sorry, God's not available right now. But if you leave your name and your number, he will call you on Monday at 9 o'clock, or maybe sometime on Monday, maybe not till Tuesday. It just depends on how many other people call, but he's not available right now. So just leave your message and he'll call you back. God, that doesn't happen. You don't get a busy signal. Oh, it's busy again. No, he's there. God never takes a vacation. God never sleeps. He's never exhausted. He never runs out of gas, even if it's $5 a gallon. He never runs out of gas. When you call on God, he's there and he answers. Can you praise God for that? Yeah. So first off, he's what? And secondly, he's what? And thirdly, he's what? And fourth, God understands everything. Write it down. God understands everything. See, that's what would be up there on the screen. That's what I'm telling you. Write it down. God, see, we can trust God because God has perfect insight. God never gets stumped. He never gets baffled. He never gets confused. You can throw something at him. He's not going to go, You know, that's a new one. I'll get back with you on that. He knows what's going on. He didn't have to get on Chat GPT. Let me just put all this stuff in, see what it spits out. He didn't have to go on YouTube to watch a video tutorial. I'm sure some dude on there can show me how to do it. He doesn't need to do any of that. The Bible says that we see through a keyhole or a glass darkly. We see limited. Everyone do this and just kind of look through your right there. I mean, get it right up in there where, and close one eye and look in there. So see how you're just limited in your scope? That's how we see life. But God sees the big picture. In fact, he sees the expanse of the situation. He sees the past. He sees the present. He sees the future. He sees how everything intersects. He sees how everything interacts. He sees how everything intertwines. You see, we see in one dimension through a glass darkly. He sees in unlimited dimensions because there's no limits to God. He knows your weariness. He knows your frustration. He knows your hurt. He knows your confusion. He knows your loneliness. He knows your sadness. He knows your fears. And he has a plan to help you in all of those breaking points that I just listed, because those things are all breaking points in our life. And so the four things that we look at about God, let's say it one more time. He's what? And he's second what? And the third is what? And the fourth is what? And those four things that Isaiah says in verse 28 helps set up what he says in verse 29. It says this in verse 29. He gives power to the weak. Write the word down. Power. He gives, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. So we're going to look at power, might, and strength. Write those down. Power, might, and strength. So God provides for us help in two ways. First, God supplies strength in our weakness. Write it down. God supplies strength in our weakness. Isaiah uses those three key words, strength, might, and power. Now, if you take the literal sense of these words and what they mean in the literal sense of it in the original writings, strength means endurance. So if you wrote down strength, just put endurance next to it. Might means vitality. Now, that means it's having the power to reproduce, the vitality. In other words, being vital. Might means vitality. And then power means just having an ability to do whatever needs to be done. Just being able to actually have the ability. So if we look at the scripture, that verse again, verse 29, and we expand it out with these meanings, it says this. Listen to this. So instead of saying, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. It's really saying this. God gives to the faint what needs to be done in any situation. Just let that soak in. And to him who has no ability to reproduce, he causes to have vitality, to be able to be vigorous and reproduce. Let that sink in. And then finally, he increases that ability in moments of crisis so that we can have endurance to keep going. Wow, that's a lot to chew on right there. So just kind of boil it down to this. God gives us the ability to be vital and to endure. When we can't go any further, when we've reached our breaking point, God gives us the ability to be vital, in other words, to reproduce him, and to endure. In other words, to see us through. So he gives us strength so that we can reproduce him, and then we can see it through to the end. That's good. Because sometimes, most of the time, we go, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I can't handle this anymore. This situation, this crisis, this stuff that's going on in my life, I'm done. God says, I tell you what, let me give you the ability to be vital, to reproduce me, and then let me see you through. Let me see you through, because you can't do this in your own strength. That's what Isaiah 40:29 means. Too oftentimes in our times of stress and our breaking points, we falter, we give up. But God's plan is for us to rely on his strength to make it through. And not, by the way, not just to eke on by, just to barely make it, but he wants to reproduce in us whatever needs to be re- reproduced of him in that situation. So the Bible calls us more than conquerors. That's what I want. I don't know about you, but do you want to be more than a conqueror, or you just want to barely eke by? Who wants to just barely eke by in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. No, I want to be more than a conqueror. How about you? Yeah. I mean, if we're going to do it, let's do it all the way, right? So here's let's make it more practical. Here's a question, or two or three. Do you need to reproduce God's joy in you instead of sorrow? Do you need to allow God to reproduce in you his peace instead of fear? Do you need God to reproduce in you his hope instead of despair? Now, those are examples. What do you need him to reproduce in you instead of what you're experiencing now and being fruitful in this breaking point in your life? Church, I can't tell you how huge this is today. This is probably one of the most important parts of my message here today. If you can grab hold of it, don't miss it. Because you see, church, our inclination, mine, all of our inclination and our natural ability is to reproduce the things of the flesh. We will naturally, see, we're vital. We are vital in this. We do quite well with planting seeds, with nurturing those seeds, and giving birth to those things that bring death to our spirits. Listen to all these little nasty, ill-mannered little offspring that we produce, nipping at our heels. They're just walking around going, hey, and kick them away. Fear, get away from me, fear. Anger, oh, stop it. Unforgiveness, ah. Worry, oh, doubt. All the rest, all these offspring of the flesh, they're just nipping at our heels all the time. And instead of telling them to go away, we kind of feed them. Here's a cookie. But God gives us his power. God gives us his ability to do what needs to be done to reproduce his fruit in our breaking points, and not just to endure in it, not just to press into it, not just to keep going in it, but also to go through it victoriously in Christ Jesus. This church is a game changer if we can understand it and apply it to our lives going forward. It's going to be a big change for many of us, probably all of us, who have not walked this way. But it's a solid foundation, church, and a new place of strength if we can all repent and just, man, let's walk this new path in him. I want to read this first part again of our text. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. And he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. In other words, he's everlasting. He's entirely reliable. He's created everything. His warranty never expires. He never wearies. He's available 24/7, 365. He understands everything. He sees the big picture. Amen? So we can confidently pivot from our clunky and harmful ways of trying to deal with our breaking point moments. And we can pray with confidence the following prayer. God, because you're entirely reliable, because your warranty never expires in my life, because you're available 24/7, 365, because you see the big picture, I'm not going to tap into my power, but I'm going to tap into your power to do what needs to be done in my breaking points. I'm going to tap into your vitality to reproduce your life-giving fruits and to give me strength in my bones to keep me going and to help me endure and to be an overcomer no matter what. It's a good prayer. And that's what Isaiah is saying. And maybe you're at your breaking point right now. There's a bunch of people in the elevator of your life and they're bouncing up and down. They're marking up your walls with graffiti. They're pressing every button in your life. The cables, the restraining and the maintenance, if we were honest, it's maybe been neglected some. But today God is here by his Holy Spirit to help you. Because you see, he gives us the strength. And here's the second part of what Isaiah was talking about. Because actually, God knows we need it. How many needs some strength from the Lord today? Okay, almost everybody. All right, good. And that's the second point that I want to make in this verse 29 is God knows we need it. He knows we need it. Now, children seem to have an unlimited amount of energy. Don't they just wear you out in a good way? And sometimes in a bad way. I mean, just how in the world can they keep going like the little Energizer bunnies? We have little Noah. He gets up, hits the ground running, and he just takes off. Energy. I guess I used to have that much energy. And I think that's why maybe God gives babies to young people. Because people that are my age can't handle as much. At least the younger people have a better chance of keeping up with them. But when I look at our grown sons and I look at our grandchildren, here's something that I realize. They're all headed my direction. I'm not headed in their direction. In other words, I'm never going to be 20 again, but one day they're going to be 63. That's why verse 30 says this, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. He's just saying, nobody is exempt from this. No one is exempt from weariness because life sure does wear you down at times, does it not? And I get it. I've heard some people sadly say, you live long enough and it'll beat you down. You live life long enough and it'll beat you down. I got to say, that's a sad way of living. That is such a sad way of living. I really don't want to give into that sort of outlook on life and those sort of people are grumpy. They're just grumpy. Who wants to be around that? They're defeated. See the glass half empty? Life is too short, church. And God's blessings are too great to live that way. If that's you today, snap out of it. Turn to someone and say, snap out of it. Yeah. God has a better way. God has a better way. Church, it's true that there's a lot of opportunities for life to beat you down. But thank God that we serve a Savior who renews our strength. He renews our strength. We may at times be beaten down. We may at times reach our breaking points, but verse 31 gives us this great promise. And here's kind of the grand finale, you know, of this passage here. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And then there's three parts of this. They're going to mount up with wings like eagles. They're going to run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. I tell you what, that's a great and kind offer from Almighty God, from our Heavenly Father, from our Daddy God. Isn't that great? And what a great offer. If you'll wait upon me, I will renew your strength. You know, there's an old chorus that is written with this in mind. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then it gives a little instruction to us at the end. Teach me, Lord, to wait. That's a good chorus. So how do you wait on the Lord? My first answer when I was putting this down, my first answer is, well, not very well. I don't wait on him very well. I mean, you may, but I don't wait on him very well. Because, you know, we live in a culture that celebrates and encourages. We don't live in this culture that celebrates waiting. We live in a culture that encourages instant gratification. Now, waiting is a very hard thing to do. It's a spiritual discipline, really. Probably one of the hardest spiritual disciplines to develop in our lives. But waiting on the Lord has some powerful benefits, church. If we would embrace what Isaiah wrote. Because, you see, waiting on the Lord has this sense. When you say wait on the Lord, it's not like you're going, okay, when's he showing up with the tapping of the foot, you know? Come on, God. That's not the kind of waiting that he's asking us to do. It's more of a resting in him. And there's this sense of when you wait on him, there's a sense of expectation, of course. There's a sense of looking for. There's a sense of hoping for. When you wait on the Lord, there's a hope in that. Now, we've all waited before. Some of you are waiting for me to get finished with this message today. Hey, that's okay. But there's some trivial forms of waiting. I don't take offense to that, by the way. It's okay. How many's ever waited in line at a checkout of, you know, the checkout du jour, wherever it is, grocery stores or, you know, wherever? Or if you've ever waited in rush hour traffic. Oh, my goodness. How many years cumulatively have we spent in rush hour traffic? I don't know why they call it rush hour, because it's everything opposite of rush. We waited on the phone. Everybody's ever waited on the phone. You are the 50th caller in the queue, and your expected wait time is 4 days. Yeah. I mean, serious. It's crazy. That's just life. Those are just kind of expected sort of trivial forms of waiting. But there's some consequential times of waiting as well. Waiting for that wayward loved one to return home. I know that's what we're waiting on, Kelly and I. Waiting in the hospital room for the test results as the doctor comes in and says what he needs to say. Waiting for restoration of what was lost in your life. Waiting for the answers to maybe many times years-long prayers. Those are hard times. And those are times where we cry out, how much longer, Lord? We cry out to him, how much longer, how much longer? And you know what he says? It's one word. Wait. Wait. But if we can, because I just listed a bunch of things that we wait on, the doctor's things and the wayward son's things. We wait on things, but Isaiah didn't say anything about a thing. If we take the spotlight off of the thing that we're waiting on, because we're not waiting on the thing, it's not a what, it's a who. Think about that for just a second. Because we apply thing all the time, don't we? Thing, thing. God doesn't say those that wait upon that thing shall renew their strength. God says those that wait upon the Lord. So it's not a thing that we're waiting on. It's a who that we're waiting on. When it's all said and done, we're not waiting for something. We're waiting for someone. Because you see, if it's a thing that you're waiting on, then it has a tinge of hopelessness attached to it because it's undependable. We don't know which way it's going to go. There's no guarantees. But if we're waiting on God, then there's a waiting that's filled with hope. Because if you remember, God never disappoints. Remember, he's entirely reliable. Did we not go over that in verse 28? Let me just remind you what verse 28 says. As you're waiting on the Lord, we go back to say, oh yeah, he's reliable, so I can wait on him with confidence. His warranty never expires in my life, so that gives me confidence to wait on him. Oh yeah, he's available 24/7, 365, so that gives me confidence to wait on him. Oh, he sees the big picture, so I have a confidence, I have a hope that I can wait on him, you see. So verse 28 talks about, let's not forget verse 28. We like the promise of those that wait upon the Lord, but we don't like to necessarily apply verse 28 because that means we gotta wait for a while or longer. Those are some good reasons to have confident hope in waiting on the Lord when we know that he is reliable. His warranty never expires. He's available all the time, and he sees the big picture. Church, waiting on the Lord is in many ways a believer's highest expression of faith. I mean, think about it. We wait. Right now we're waiting. We're waiting for an answer. We're waiting for provision. We're waiting for guidance. We're waiting for a soon return. How many can't wait till Jesus comes back? See, we're waiting. We're all waiting. But we're waiting in hope, because how many knows that Jesus is coming back? You see, there's a hope attached to that. How many knows that it's going to happen, because God is not a man that he would lie, right? Amen? See, so we wait in hope for these things. And as much as we know that he's coming back, we also know that he's going to provide, that he's going to answer, that he's going to guide, because all of those things are promises from God. And he's not a man that he would lie. And church, that takes faith. And while we wait in this process of waiting, we take the next step. What do I mean by that? Well, that means we do the next thing. That means we live life. That means we perform the next task. We fulfill the next assignment. We wake up. We put our shoes on. We go to work. We take care of the kids. We go through life. We find a way forward, all the while trusting and waiting on the Lord. As we're doing our daily things in life, all the while we're being energized and guided by and encouraged by God is with me, and he's guiding my steps, and I'm going to wait on the Lord as I do what I need to do in my daily life. It's not a despairing sort of activity. It's a hopeful sort of activity. And when we do that, while we're waiting and while we're doing, God does something amazing and desperately needed in our lives. What do you think that is? He grows us. He grows us. Yes, he does. He matures us. He makes us more like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I need to be more like Jesus. Don't say amen to that. We all need to be more like Jesus. Now we can all say amen. Yeah, we all need to be more like Jesus. In the waiting, our faith grows. In the waiting, our discipline grows. In the waiting, we gain a greater understanding of his goodness. We rely more completely on his strength, and we rest more fully in his care. In that waiting, Jesus becomes more and more our all in all. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's in the breaking points and those breaking moments in our life that this happens. And it's a necessary part of our walk with him if we're going to grow up in him. He actually allows these things to happen so that we can grow to be more like Jesus. It's being totally convinced that no matter how awful the circumstance, no matter how difficult the situation, this has been in my life, that as his beloved child, how many believes that you are God's beloved child and he's your daddy God? That's right. As his beloved child, God is working it out for your good and for his glory in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. This is not my opinion. So today, I'm not going to be overwhelmed. Easier said than done, but Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm not going to be overwhelmed because I know God knows my breaking point because he's made me. And he knows what I can handle. He's got me. So I'm just going to take the next step forward in faith. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to actively wait because God is at work in the middle of my crisis. And I know that God's going to see me through because he's done it faithfully all these years. And he's not going to stop now. Isn't that good to know? All of a sudden, God just stops being faithful. No. God is not. Faithfulness is not something God does. Faithfulness is somebody that he is. So Isaiah's encouragement to us concludes by saying that our strength can be renewed. And that's the crux to where we are this morning, because many of us in this place today are kind of running on fumes, if we were honest with each other and honest with ourselves. And we need our strength renewed. Now, this speaks to, in the literal sense, of exchanging one thing for another. It's like changing clothes. You didn't wear that outfit. Trust, I'm hoping you didn't wear that outfit yesterday. If you did, no judgment. But you changed clothes from yesterday to today. And tomorrow, I would imagine, you're going to put on a fresh shirt, a fresh, you know, fresh outfit sort of thing. So what do we do? What does it look like spiritually? Well, we put on the garment of praise instead of the garment of heaviness. We put on the garment of heaviness and don't even know it. How about shed that thing and just put on the garment of praise? How about we put on God's strength instead of clothing ourselves in our weakness? God's strength. How about we do that? How about we put on God's peace instead of our worry? How about we put on God's confidence instead of our fear? How about we put on God's joy instead of our heaviness? You see, there's things that he has in his wardrobe closet. Whatever you need to take off, take it off and exchange it for the garment God has for you, because God always has more strength than you have weakness, church. God always has more solutions than you have problems, church. Isn't that good to know? He has this massive closet filled with whatever garment that you need. And this is a rhyme. I didn't mean for it to be a rhyme, but it ended up being a rhyme. So here it goes. So take off whatever you need to shed and put on Jesus instead. Hey, that's pretty nice. I went back and read that later. I said, hey, that rhymes. So take off whatever you need to shed and put on Jesus instead. Say that with me. So take whatever you need to shed and put on Jesus instead. Yeah. Easier. It sounded better on paper. Here we go. Isaiah says, I'm a poet and don't recognize it. Isaiah says, God will give you three things. God will give you strength to soar, which means to rise above your circumstances with joy. He's also going to give you strength to run in times of vigorous challenge. And he's also going to give you strength to walk, which is that stamina and stability and that consistency of a daily journey with him. Now, we don't always need to fly. Think about it. If you're a frequent flyer, you're not in a plane, unless you're a pilot, you're not in a plane 24-7, right? If you're going to go on a trip, you're going to jump on a plane, you'll be on that plane for 2-3 hours or whatever, and then you're kind of like off the plane. We don't always fly. We don't always need to fly, but times there are times we need to fly and rise like an eagle to soar above all the turkeys. I mean, right? We need to fly. We need to rise above. Those are momentary times. And we're not always running. I didn't see you run into here, and I know you're not going to run out. And you don't run here and run there. You don't run to your car and run to work and run while you're at work and run around. You don't run all the time, do you? That's exhausting. But at times we'll run. If we're trying to catch that, you know, catch that before the door closes, catch the elevator door before it closes, for example. I mean, we're running at times. We need to run on occasion. But church, we always are walking. We're always walking. That walking, it's that daily one step at a time where you lead, I will follow journey. It's not very exciting. It's not flying. It's not running. It's that walk. But church, it's what we need to move forward. We need to walk. Don't be still. Don't sit there and wallow. Get up. Walk. Do the next thing in hope, in faith, trusting him that he's got you. Paul instructs us in Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. That would be on the screen. Walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We read that and go, oh, lust of the flesh. I don't lust. That's not what it's talking about. It's just talking about walking in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh, walking the things that we desire to walk in that are worry and fear and doubt and unforgiveness and all those sort of things. Don't walk in that. Walk in the things of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the things of God. Walk in the Spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. No, it was a choice that we make. I'm going to walk in the Spirit today. I'm going to walk in the Spirit in this situation instead of the things of the flesh. The Holy Spirit, church, is here today. And he's with us 24/7, 365, to guide us into all truth, the Bible says. Jesus said that in John. And he's going to lead us well in God's path of our lives. How many knows you can trust the Holy Spirit to guide you? The Bible says he's going to guide us into all truth. He's going to lead us. He's going to show us the way. And he's going to help us to put on Jesus, the garments that we need to put on so that we can have our strength renewed daily in Jesus. So how do you renew your strength? You take off that old stuff and you put on Jesus. Look in his closet. What is it that you need? I am so tired of walking in this garment that is messing with me, and I've reached my breaking point. God opens up the closet doors and says, I have anything and everything that you need. Now you take off that filthy rag. You take off that fleshly thing. You take that thing off that's so weighing you down. And you see that thing that's just glowing that has your name on it? That's what you need right there. Take it off the hanger. Take off that old thing. Stick it in the pile over there. Don't pick it back up. It's a nasty old smell. I'm going to burn it. I'm just going to burn it later, so don't even worry about it. And put this thing on that I have. And walk in that. Because you see, church, everyone alive today is on a journey. Everybody, not just people in this church, but everybody that's breathing is on a journey. But here's the thing. A journey of a Christ follower. How many is a Christ follower today? Okay. You see, a journey of a Christ follower is marked by following the leading of the Holy Spirit. So let the Holy Spirit lead you and let him guide you. You can trust him. So God's strength is sufficient. God's strength is sufficient, church. God's strength is sufficient. So look to him and not your problems. Oh, but pastor, I've got a lot of problems. Yeah, I got some big problems. I got a bigger God. I got some overwhelming problems. Yeah, but I got a much more overwhelming God. I got some problems that are pretty strong. I got a God who's stronger. I got a bunch of stuff. God has more solutions than any of my problems. Because you see, it's not the magnitude of your problems that matters. As big as they may be, and I'm not trying to diminish them. They're real, absolutely. But it's not the magnitude of your problems that matters. It's the magnitude of God that makes the difference. God is bigger. Only God can fix whatever it is that you're going through. You know, a lot of times we pray this, we say this. I've got no other place to go but to the Lord. that feels like you've tried every solution and he's your last resort. It's funny. It's almost like saying, I've got nothing to breathe but oxygen. Of course. Let's reach out to God first, not last. Don't let him be our last resort. Let him be our first go-to. You see, God is right there in your struggles. So right now, just breathe him in. Just breathe him in. Breathe in that peace, that joy, that, I don't know, whatever it is that you need to replace that you're breathing in that toxic stuff right now that's not doing you any good. You see, this breaking point that you're experiencing is a cue. It's a cue to turn to God today with it. It's not a cue to panic and try to figure out what to do. You've come to the right place. But how about taking that next one more step and say, Lord, I brought it in with me, but I'm not going to take it out with me. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to put you on instead. It's not a bad prayer. Exchange your weakness for his strength and wait on him in the journey. Would you stand with me? Bow your heads. And I'm going to pray this prayer. And I want you to agree with me if you want God to help you right now. God, dear God, because you're entirely reliable, God, because your warranty never expires on my life, God, because you're available 24/7, 365, God, because you see the big picture, I'm going to tap into your power and not my own anymore to do what needs to be done in this breaking point in my life. God, I'm going to tap into your vitality to reproduce your life-giving fruits instead of my death-giving fruits. And God, I'm going to trust you to give me strength in my bones to keep going and to endure and to be an overcomer, to be more than an overcomer, no matter what. I'm going to do the next thing. I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk in hope. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to have a discipline of waiting on you. I'm going to take off the old stuff, the fleshly stuff, the destructive stuff, and I'm going to put on you. I'm going to renew myself in you today. I need you to help me, Jesus, because I'm done. I'm tapped out. I'm at my breaking point. Lord, that's my prayer. That's our prayer. How about it? And I thank you, Jesus, that right now you're saying, I'm glad you asked, because I'm here. And I can pour my life into you. I can put on those garments, that you need to walk in. Holy Spirit, show us what that looks like. Holy Spirit, help us to be honest with ourselves. Yeah. We may look nice on the outside, but inside there's some stuff, and we're at our breaking point, and it's just too much. But you've given us this opportunity today to stop and say, okay, as the manufacturer of my life, that you're aware of what's going on and that you have the answer, I lay it at your feet. I take off the old garments and I put on your garments, and I'm going to walk this thing out. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to wait on you. Renew me today and tomorrow and the next day and every day, every week, every month, every year, as long as it takes. And let my faith grow let me be more like Jesus in the process. And then, Lord, let me share this testimony with others that are going to be going through this, that I'm going to intersect with, so that I can encourage them that as you did it for me, you can do it for them, because you're no respecter of persons. Oh, that's so good to know. You're a faithful God. So with every eye closed and head bowed, if you're at that breaking point, I'm just going to just ask you to just make a confession to him. And it could be in your heart. It doesn't have to be out loud, because this is truly just between you and the Lord. I'm not looking for any sort of filled up altars or anything like that. In fact, if the prayer team would come up, that would be great while I'm sharing here. But because there may be that you would like to come up and just have prayer for something, and this would be a great time to do that. And for you at home as well watching this, I just want you to make a covenant with the Lord right now. You know what a covenant is? It's serious. It's not just a promise. It's not just a passing phrase. It's not a flippant statement. It's a contract. It's saying, all right, starting today, I make a covenant with you to not allow my flesh to rule my emotions and to overwhelm me and to cause me to crash and burn at these breaking points. But starting today, I'm going to put on God. I'm going to put on his fruit, his spirit, his things. I'm going to put him on. I'm going to put on the qualities of Jesus Christ. Because my perspective is different now. I'm not going to apply humanity to God. He's in a category all to himself, so he's fully reliable. I trust him. I'm going to do that starting today. Even though I don't understand it, even though I don't like it, even though I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, I'm going to trust that God's got me. And in that place of breaking, of struggle, of turmoil, I'm going to say, all right, Lord, give me what I need to not just barely make it through. I need your strength to be vital to reproduce you in this situation and to endure to make it through victoriously, however long it takes, and do that every day, every day, every moment of every day. I commit that to you. See, that's the covenant that I'm challenging you to make this morning. It's your call to do it. You can walk out of here the same way and keep doing it, and you're going to get the same results. But if you'll change it around, you say, okay, I've tried it this way, it's not working. I think I'm going to try what God's word says in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. I've heard this scripture before. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But I get it now. So with that understanding, I'm going to walk this out. Holy Spirit, stir it in our hearts. Massage us. Let it just roll through. Washing us. Just let it roll through and grab hold of us. And don't let it go away. Let it stay right there and just let it grow in us. The truth of this teaching here today of what Isaiah, of what your Holy Spirit said through Isaiah for us to do. Lord, I pray for each one of us today that you would undergird us, that you would be our strength, and that you would help us. Now, with every eye closed and head bowed, before we end here today, I want to ask if there's anybody here that has never made a decision for Jesus, or maybe you did, but you've walked away, and you want to recommit your heart to Jesus this morning. I want to make that invitation before we close out here today. I'm not asking you to, you know, if you've made a mistake this week, you know, that you got to get saved again. That's not what I'm talking about. God's grace is plenty sufficient for that. I'm talking about, man, you've really just backslid, you know. You've just rejected God, and you're saying today, I embrace him again. I embrace Jesus again today. Or maybe you've never made that decision. So that's for you today. And if that's you and you want to say a prayer and invite Jesus into your heart, recommit your heart to him, just slip up your hands and say, Pastor, that's me. I'd love to pray right now a prayer. Yes, I see that hand in the back. Anybody else that says, I want to recommit my life to Jesus today. I've backslidden. I've never received him. Today is my day. Today is the day of salvation for me. Anybody else want to join that one person? Just lift up your hand and put it right back down. Yeah. Let's all pray together this prayer, whether we raised our hands or not. And the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that you will be saved. Jesus did the work that he did for us, and we just do one thing, and that is to reach out and to receive it. Just to reach out and receive it. Say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I repent. Please forgive me. Wash me clean by your blood. Come live in my heart and be the Lord of my life. I thank you that I'm now saved, born again, a child of God. And I thank you, Jesus, from this day on, you're going to walk with me as I walk with you. And I pray this, Jesus, in your name. And everyone said amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Join us next week as we continue to learn from God's word and apply it to our lives.